I'd like to welcome you to our service. It certainly is good to be together again. We've been studying the letter to the Hebrews, and particularly we're focusing on chapter 11, which is all about faith. And I just trust that at this time that you are growing in your faith, that you're standing firm on God's word, and that you're focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're just going to pray and ask the Lord to minister to us and to give us insight into life as we come around his word. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this glorious letter to the Hebrews and the deep insights we have on life itself. Father, we pray that you'd grow our faith. Lord, help us to be rooted and established on your word of truth. And Father, we pray that we indeed would be focused on you and not on the pandemic and the challenges around us, the COVID-19, but Father, that we'd never become so discouraged that we turn our eyes away from you. Father, we thank you. We can pray for our country and our nation, and even as the COVID-19 spreads and is peaking in our province, Father, we know that as we see these things, we know it's a call to trust you even more and to have faith in you. And so, Father, we pray for our country. We pray for our people here in Pretoria, in Gauteng, and Lord, we pray for our doctors in the front line. Lord, we ask that you'd give them wisdom and protect them, and Lord, that you would give us a confidence to face life day by day. We pray this all in your precious name. Amen. Amen. Certainly, as I look back on my spiritual walk, one of the most difficult, may I say, trying and at times stressful things is to wait on the Lord for his future grace. Sometimes the Lord answers immediately, and certainly joy when we experience that, when you pray, when you seek God's face, and he just answers in wonderful ways. Some time ago, I read a story written by a missionary, a son of a missionary, and they were in the outback of Australia, and they'd run out of food in the area. They weren't well off, and his father had such faith. As they sat down for Sunday lunch, he gave thanks for the meal, and yet he had no food. And just as he said the amen, there was a knock at the door, and the Lord had moved somebody to provide a roast chicken, and it was brought to their home, and they were provided, the Lord provided immediately. The Lord answered the prayer absolutely immediately. And certainly that can happen when you wait on the Lord. But sometimes it's difficult, and we go through those trying times when we wait on the Lord, and it seems to be delayed. The answer seems to be delayed. I remember some years ago when we bought a home in Namibia, and we'd bought at the bottom of the interest rate. It was quite low, and it turned and went up, and we were challenged, and we began to pray about how we should face this challenge. And we waited for a while. It was testing. Our faith was tested, and yet eventually God did come through. But those times are often testing times for us. A man and his wife were struggling to have children. They tried every possible remedy. They'd gone to every possible doctor or specialist of their day, but to no avail. Perhaps you know what it's like when you face a crisis. Maybe it's health or finance or work. You're desperate, but you get no answers as you seek the Lord's face. Like many women today, his wife was barren. To have a child meant absolutely everything to her and to him too. In fact, God's calling, God's promises were wrapped up in this little bundle they were praying for. They sought the Lord earnestly, and amazingly, God spoke into their lives. They knew it was God. They were absolutely certain that God had spoken. They'd heard God speak before, and they knew it was a God thing. They would have a miracle child. God would provide an heir to this couple that would be their delight, not to mention the fact that it would confirm and fulfill God's plan and purpose for their lives. Well, a year passed, another year, 3 years. Come on, Lord, aren't you going to answer our prayers and your promises? One writer put it like this: it's like beating on heaven's doors with heaven's bronze doors with bruised knuckles in the dark. Well, 15 years passed, not 15 months, but 15 years and nothing. You can imagine their pain. They'd trusted God. God had spoken, and they were becoming desperate. At times like this, do you try and help God? I mean, shouldn't you offer him a helping hand and allow him to work through that? For a season, this couple would take things into their own hands, only to learn that God keeps his promises and that sin, disobedience, can have painful consequences. 10 years later, that's 25 years, God would bless them with a child and they'd have a miracle baby. We know this man is the greatest example of faith in the Bible. Others like Enoch and Noah lived absolutely extraordinary lives of faith. But none are so written about than this man. No less than 13 chapters in the first book of the Bible, Genesis 12 to chapter 12 to 25. His faith was so celebrated in Old Testament times that the spiritual leaders of the day in prayer would extol God and laud this man's faith. Take Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 7 to 8. We read of such a prayer. You are the Lord God who chose Abram and brought him out of Ur of the Chaldees and named him Abraham. You found his heart faithful to you, and you made a covenant with him to give his descendants the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, Jebusites, and Girgashites. You have kept your promise because you are righteous. The New Testament likewise holds Abram up as a great example of faith and the father of all who believe. Consider Abraham, wrote the Apostle Paul. He believed God. And it was credited to him as righteousness. And James adds that because of Abram's faith, Abram was called God's friend. Abram is the undisputed paragon, the model, the example of faith. If there's one lesson to learn from his life, it's this. God's plans in God's time. We're in the series Real Faith in an Unreal World. We've already seen in our series that the starting point of our faith journey is worship. Faith worships. We saw how Abel brought an authentic worship offering by faith. We cannot worship God just as we please. And the authentic worship recognizes we are sinners in need of God's grace and mercy. And certainly the starting point is faith worships. Then we saw that faith also walks. We looked at the intimate relationship that Enoch had with God, the basis of his faith with God. And then we discovered last time that there's an outworking of faith. Faith works. Faith worships. Faith works. Faith walks. And today we're going to discover that faith also waits. Our reading is Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8 to 19. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city without foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children, because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he is good as dead, came the descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show they are looking for a country of their own. If they'd been thinking of the country they'd left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abram reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Now, remember those words we shared last time? God is looking for people through whom he can do the impossible. What a pity, says A.W. Tozer. We plan to do things that we can do only by ourselves. God is raising up Christians who will wait on him for great things. Those who, in the words of Daniel 11:32, know their God and do great exploits for God. Friend, are you perhaps one of those people that God is raising up to do great exploits? But waiting is one of the most difficult exercises. It's one of the most difficult spiritual disciplines you'll ever face. If you read those wonderful biographies of great men and women of faith, God often kept them waiting to the last minute. I think particularly of George Muller, a great example to me. I remember a story when he had orphans he was looking after, and they had no food, had no breakfast, and he prayed for breakfast. And just at that point, there was a knock at the door, and a bread truck had brought some bread and food for them. God answered in an incredible way, but at the last moment. True faith, here it is able to wait for the fulfillment of God's plans in God's time. Faith waits. God may be testing your faith right now. As a church, we are waiting on the Lord. We're praying particularly for our missionaries and their support. And as Christians, we need to wait on the Lord, because faith waits on the Lord. Now, there's one word that describes Abram's waiting faith. If you look at verse 8, it says the following. By faith, Abraham, what is the word? Abraham obeyed. The mark of waiting faith is obedience. And often it's so difficult to obey God, but that's the mark of waiting faith. I want to say to you this morning, it is not what you believe that separates you as a Christian. It's what you can obey that separates you from the crowd. Firstly, this morning, Abram obeyed even when he did not know where he was going. We see this in verse 8 to 10. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city without foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1 to 4, we see Abram's calling. It was a great calling from God. Genesis 12:1. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I'll make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people of the earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham went. It was certainly tough. God had called Abraham to leave his home, his possessions, his relatives, his worldly ambitions. And if you're planning to be a missionary, you know exactly what I'm talking about. God calls you to go somewhere else. This man certainly had a great calling. He was the founder of a great nation, God's nation. Yet he was a father with a great name. Abram, which means exalted father, became Abraham, father of many. And certainly he figured in the blessing of God. Now, you need to know that Abram lived in one of the most advanced civilizations of his day. Ur was the New York or the London of its day. It was famous for art and culture and law and medicine and mathematics. In fact, they found a tablet with its trigonometry, a solution to a problem, a math problem. It was the Oxford and the Cambridge of his day, famous for its medicine. And yet, sadly, this place was also the center of gross idolatry and evil, evil religions filled with cruelty and corruption and even human sacrifice. Now, Abraham knew nothing of God. And then something incredible happened. God was working and honing this man to be a man of faith, a friend of God. And Acts chapter 7 and verse 2 says the following. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham. Isn't that glorious that God appeared to this man? We're not told exactly what happened, but perhaps you can remember whether it's yourself or your family or the most wicked person you come across. A person is never beyond the grace and the call of God. Nobody's so wicked that God will leave him and not call him to be his child. And God at this point, he called Abraham and Abraham responded. Abram gave up a city to live in a tent, and we notice if you follow Abram's story, he never settled down. He never put his roots down. Abraham went out and he camped out. He became a sojourner. He was passing through the land. How could Abraham put things in perspective? Well, in verse 10, it tells us that Abraham focused on eternity. The bottom line is that Abram gave up a city whose architect was man for a city whose architect was God. How could Abram leave so much behind? Well, the answer is that he focused on eternity. Nothing on earth could hold Abram simply because his heart had already left this world. Peter calls us aliens and strangers, and that's exactly what Abram was as a man of God. Pioneer missionary Henry C. Morrison was returning to New York after 40 years of service as a missionary in Africa. The boat also carried a wildly popular American president by the name of Theodore Roosevelt. As they entered the New York harbor, the president was greeted with a huge applause and fanfare. The crowds went absolutely wild. Well, at this point, Morrison felt dejected. For 40 years, a lifetime, this man had faithfully served the Lord. He was coming home and no one had come out to greet him or to meet him. As he battled with his thoughts and he prayed, God said to him, Henry, you're not home. Sometimes we don't know where we are going, whether we're facing a crisis or facing health challenges or old age. But I want to say this morning that we have an eternal destiny. What you look for, what you focus on will define who you are. You might focus on wealth and money drives you. Perhaps you are focusing on being famous and you're seeking out people's attention. Or maybe it's popularity and people's opinions are important or health and the latest health fad. But if the heavenly city, the eternity is your focus, nothing, absolutely nothing on earth will be able to get a hold of you. And so firstly, we see that Abram obeyed even when he did not know where he was going. But secondly, we see today that Abram obeyed even when he did not know how God's will would be accomplished. Let's look at verse 11 and 12. By faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was unable to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came the descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as sand on the seashore. Abram and Sarah faced a human impossibility. Both of them were too old to have children, but they believed. How did Abram come to exercise his faith in such a way? He weighed the human impossibility of becoming a father against the divine impossibility of God being able to break his word and his promise, and decided that since God is God, nothing is impossible. In the words of Hebrews 11 and verse 6, he believed that God is, and that he is the reward of those who diligently seek him. George Sweeting, the past president of Moody Bible Institute, he once gave a memorable definition of optimism. Optimism, he said, is when an 85-year-old man marries a 35-year-old woman and moves into a 12-room house next to an elementary school. Well, I want to tell you there's a better definition than that for optimism. Optimism is when a 99-year-old man and his 90-year-old bride hear God say they are going to be parents and believe their offspring will fill not a schoolhouse, but the whole earth. They will be as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Now, we don't indulge in fideism, faith without reason, or rationalism, which is reason without faith. But we live reasonably, trusting the Lord, looking to see if God's word actually says it, or is it simply man's infallible interpretation? And when God's word does say it, we must be supremely rational, weighing human impossibility against divine impossibility of God being able to break his word. I remember a seemingly impossible situation that I faced in ministry. There have been various situations. How a small church membership in Namibia could pay for a church building that costs a lot of money. Finding a youth worker when a church can't afford it. Discovering peace in brokenness. In the healing of relationships. And friend, perhaps you're in a place where it's really difficult to believe and to trust God. But you know what? God is faithful. He's faithful to his word. Unbelief asks, and remember Zechariah in Luke chapter 1 and verse 18 to 20. How can this be? However, faith asks, and we see that in Mary in Luke 1, 34 to 37. How shall this be? How can this be, or how shall this be? Friend, what question are you asking today? Abraham obeyed, even when he did not know how God's will would be accomplished. But then thirdly, we see as we look at this passage that Abram obeyed even though he did not know when God would fulfill his promise. Verse 13 to 16, all his people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of a country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. All these great men and women of faith, they looked ahead to the promises of God. George Morrison, a Scottish preacher, he said the following: the important thing is not what we live on, but what we are looking for. A young woman by the name of Joy Ridderhoff, she sat in a classroom in Columbia Bible College. I've actually been to the university in South Carolina, I think it is, in America. And she was doing the same things her friends were doing. If he had told her that God would use her to bring the gospel in all parts of the world to more than 2,500 languages and dialects, she'd have laughed, perhaps like Sarah did. It was plainly impossible because she knew only two or three languages. But God would begin to give her a vision, and she'd start that great organization, a Christian mission organization, Gospel Recordings. What is your vision? What are you looking for? Remember the words, expect great things of God and attempt great things for him. By faith, Abraham saw the unseen, and in hope he lived in the future. Faith makes us pilgrims here on earth. Let me say that again. It's so, so important. Your faith will make you a pilgrim here on earth. To every question, what shall this man do? Jesus' answer in John 21:21 is, what is that to you? Follow me. Faith makes us heavenly minded, and as partakers in heaven, we look to Christ that he might deliver us from this evil world. Abraham and his descendants lived as men seeking after a country of their own, as those who desire a better country, in other words, a heavenly one. Abraham obeyed even though he did not know when God would fulfill his promises. And then we see fourthly in this passage, in this great chapter of faith, Abram obeyed, even though he did not know why God was so working. Have you sometimes wondered what God is doing? And I'm sure that Abram would wonder what on earth God was up to. Why would the son of promise need to be sacrificed? Verse 17 and 18. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned in verse 19. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and in so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. I don't know if you like me, but sometimes we try to figure out what God is doing. Well, it's interesting that Abraham obeyed, even though he didn't know where he was going. He didn't know how God's will would be accomplished. He didn't know when God would fulfill his promises, and he didn't know why God was so working. Certainly, this man's faith was being tested, but Abram's faith waited. How can we wait on God? Well, I wanted to give you three practical steps. Faith's first step is obedience. We read in verse 8 that Abram obeyed, and I like that Nike ad, "Just do it." Well, we need to just obey. That's the first step. Do what God, whatever God tells you to do. Secondly, faith focus or faith goal. What was Abram's secret? Well, verse 10 tells us that Abram focused on eternity. And I'll ask you today, what is your actual focus? Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16 to 18, "Knowing that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and present you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is extending to more and more people may overflow in thanksgiving to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, yet our inner self is being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary affliction is producing for us an eternal glory that is by far beyond a comparison. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Faith's first step, faith's focus, and then also faith's fruitfulness. Verse 11 and 12, how do you stay fruitful? Well, verse 11 tells us, Abram considered him faithful who had made the promise. How did Abram come to such a massive exercise of faith? Abram weighed the human impossibility of becoming a father against the divine impossibility of God being able to break his word. And since God is God, nothing is impossible. Abram surrendered his life to God. And how do we surrender our lives to the Lord? Well, surrender involves a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2 verse 20, "I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." The person Jesus Christ, the performance is obedience to God's revealed will. Then there's a pattern. We need to abide in Christ. And John 15 and verse 5 reminds us that if we do that, we will bear fruit. We saw Enoch, a man of God who walked and abided in Christ, and he lived a very fruitful spiritual life. A person, a performance, a pattern, a place. The place is our heavenly focus, our heavenly destination. A glorious promise. We cling to the truths of God's word, the promises we find in his words. And then there's a perseverance. We keep on keeping on in a life of faith. Certainly we struggle with God's timing, but faith waits. I want to close the verse that addresses God's perfect timing. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14 to 16 says the following. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Here's the key verse. Let us then approach the throne of grace, God's throne of grace, with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Now, the Amplified Version renders verse 16 like this. Let us fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help us in good time. For every need, appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it. Now we see this is written in the present tense. It emphasizes the privilege, the help that is always available. There's a description here. It reminds us that God's throne is characterized by grace. Isn't that so encouraging? God's throne is characterized by grace. There's an action that informs us that we are recipients of God's grace. And this is the point. There's a timing. It is well-timed grace. Literally, we can render this verse correctly. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may find grace for a well-timed help. Isn't that wonderful? God never comes too late. He never comes too early. It is a well-timed help. That is why faith waits. Friend, do you have a faith that is waiting? Perhaps today, if you're going through a crisis, the Lord is speaking to you that you need to be patient and wait faithfully on him. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, thank you for this wonderful example in this this paragon of faith, this man Abraham who waited on you. Father, we know that at times it's just so difficult to be patient and wait patiently when you've spoken into our situation. Lord, I pray for each one here today that as they face crises, that it might be a work crisis or a financial crisis or even accommodation or something similar. Lord, you call us to faithfully look to you. Father, to wait for you to answer us, because you are a God who's faithful. Lord, we pray that you'd give us wisdom to know when you are speaking your word and when we are misreading the word. Lord, so often we get ourselves into trouble because we don't apply your word correctly. But Father, this morning I pray that you'd give us eyes of faith as we read scripture. Lord, help us to claim in faith the promises of your word. Lord, we've seen this past week that we need to stand on your word. Lord, that we need to trust you because you are a God who's faithful. And oh Lord, I pray for each one here who's battling today, Lord, that you would help them to focus afresh on you. And Lord, to wait patiently. Friend, as we bow before the Lord, why don't you maybe just pray and ask God to give you that waiting faith. Another aspect, another picture or a view of that faith diamond. Ask the Lord to help you to patiently seek his answers and to look to him because he is faithful. Why don't you pray that right now and ask God to do that for you? Father, we just thank you that this is a word in season. Lord, we know our country faces so many challenges, particularly this COVID-19 pandemic. And Lord, we know there are so many things that we don't have answers for. And yet, Lord, we know that you are in control. And Father, that we can faithfully wait on you. We pray this all in your precious name. Amen.